Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, and I repeat from the gospel reading, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is our text. I suspect that, like me, you have a way of organizing your life. I carry around with me a little calendar, a day planner. You might do the same in digital format, perhaps. My day planner helps me remember important dates. It keeps track of upcoming events and projects. It enables me to set aside time to do the things that I'm called to do, to prepare sermons and Bible studies, for appointments and for meetings. And you can believe what it's like when I misplace my day planner. When I can't find it, I feel lost. I feel disorganized. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. My calendar keeps those things in front of me, even when they don't have specific dates, even things that are still a long way off. The church has a calendar as well. Our calendar of worship services and readings is like that. It helps us remember and reflect on things that we might otherwise ignore or forget. We need the discipline and the structure of the church year, just as we require calendars for daily life. Now today, this morning, our readings, prayers, and hymns direct our attention to an important upcoming event: the end of the world and Christ's return. The final weeks of the church year, today and next Sunday, focus on these last things. Jesus will come again in a cloud with power and great glory, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. This hope is what shapes us. This hope shapes how we live on earth now. Your days are not simply a meaningless repetition of mornings and evenings or of weeks and months and years. Instead, each day looks forward to the great day of the Lord, and each day draws us closer to that. Knowing Jesus' promise to come again, we live with faith and hope as we await our final redemption. It all starts in our gospel reading with a simple comment about the beauty of the temple. One of the disciples makes a comment about those magnificent stones, and that leads Jesus to discuss upcoming events. He uses the temple's magnificent stones as an object lesson to teach about the future of the temple, about the future of Jerusalem, where the temple stood, and even about the future of the universe. And what Jesus has to say is this: they won't last forever. Not the temple, not Jerusalem, not the universe. They are not permanent fixtures. And because they won't last, none of them can provide eternal security. The temple could not be a lasting refuge. Jerusalem could not be a place of permanent safety. The universe is not a place where we can expect to live forever. In the temple, that amazing construction, that marvel of design, not one stone would be left on another. Can you imagine the impact that those words had on the disciples who were looking at the temple? Not one stone left on another? Surely at least two would be left standing together. But this is what Jesus says: stone by stone, that temple would be torn down. It would be leveled, it would be destroyed in a coming judgment. In a coming judgment that serves as a preview for the final judgment of the world. Now, anytime we talk about the last things, about Christ's return in glory and the end of the world, certain questions always come up, and they came up also for the disciples, like, when will it be? And what will be the signs? And how do we prepare for it? With those questions, the question always is, why do you want to know? Why do you want to know the day or the hour? Why do you want to know the signs? How would knowing the date of Christ's return help you live by faith now? How would a detailed outline of the end time events give you hope in this moment? As if that's all we need to be prepared. Jesus, just tell me the day, the time, and the order of events, and that'll be good enough for me. As if that would equip us to handle it from there. But this is where faith differs from knowledge. Faith lives not by what it knows about the future, but faith lives by trusting the one who holds the future in his hands. Do we want to be like God, knowing the beginning and the end? God has said that we are on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know the date of Christ's return. Trying to figure it out, dwelling on and focusing on that, on the day and the time and the events leading up to it, all of that will actually leave us less prepared when he comes. So how do we prepare for the future? The only preparation for the future announced by Jesus is Jesus himself. I want to repeat that. The only preparation for the future announced by Jesus is Jesus himself. The disciples are staring at the temple stones, stones that will soon be torn down. And there stands Jesus, the stone cut by no human hands that will stand forever. As Jesus said, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He was not talking about a stone lying off to the side of the building. He was talking about himself. And he was rejected. The priests, the leaders, the scribes, they rejected the stone that God had established. They wrecked his body. They leveled him to the ground, right into the grave. But they never imagined what would happen next. That God would reach into that grave. That God would take what had been torn down and wrecked and destroyed, and God would rebuild it. On the third day, the temple of his body rose from the grave, just as he promised. And our hope, our future, everything that we need to know lies there in him. Because what Jesus said about the end cannot be understood apart from his death and his resurrection. Think about what happened on Good Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross. What is happening in that event? Right there in his body, the world was judged and all sin, every single sin from the beginning to the end, was condemned in his body. And on Easter Sunday, our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who would be raised from the dead. His resurrection is a promise that there are more resurrections to come, and they will come. So don't get caught up in the questions about the end. One of my fears as pastor is that there are so many voices and so many things out there. There is much that is good, but much that is also not good. And it's easy to get caught up in some questions or comments or ideas about the end or what is coming. Don't let those things grab a hold of you. Good Friday and Easter, these are the days and these are the events that we need to know. Those who take refuge in Christ, crucified and risen, have redemption on the last day. Those who take refuge in Christ, who died and rose again, will be delivered from death and every evil. Those who take refuge in this Jesus will have a blessed end. That's what we need to know. Jesus warns about all sorts of things. He warns in particular about false Christs. He says that they'll come. Be ready. They'll come claiming to be him. They'll come saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Don't pay any attention to them. Those false Christs are just as worthless as the temple stones. They are destined for destruction. They are unable to save. So that we won't be deceived, the real Jesus has given us all that we need. He has given us his own word. He has given us holy baptism by which we are joined to his death and resurrection. He has given us his body and blood on this altar. He has given us what we need. We know where he is. We know where to find him. And we know that until he comes, this is where we meet him in his word and his sacraments. And when he comes again, there will be no doubt. There will be no question. There will be no need for us to stand around and say, "Do you think that's him or not?" Every eye will be opened, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. This Jesus who comes now in his word and in these sacraments, he is the shelter for us from life's storms. He is the refuge for us in the midst of the world's tumult. He is our redemption. He is the forgiveness of our sins. He is our life and our salvation. And without him, we would most certainly be lost. But in him we have life now and forever. Faith looks to Jesus, not to this or that date, but to him. And because of what Jesus did in the past, because of what Jesus does in the present, his disciples, you as well, can endure the future. This is how we can press forward to what lies ahead. Jesus tells us what to expect as we await his coming. He describes the last days as a difficult time, a time of tribulation, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, diseases, and wars, terrors and signs in the heavens, persecution, suffering, and death for Christians on the earth. You know, these things have been taking place ever since Jesus spoke them. They were true 10 years ago and 20 years ago. The signs of the end are everywhere. The death throes of the universe are happening now. Have our senses become so dull? Have we become so used to these things that we can no longer recognize them for what they are? But the end is everywhere foreshadowed. Daily, every single day, there are reminders that the Lord will come again and bring to an end this fallen creation. And we know that he's coming because his word is true. He said the temple stones would be torn down, and it happened. In the year AD 70, the Romans came and they tore down the temple. We know that what Jesus says happens because it did. His disciples were put to death for confessing their faith. Jerusalem was surrounded and besieged and trampled underfoot. Those who heeded his word escaped to the hills and were spared. And now our Lord locates us in that time between the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 and the end of the world. We are in what he calls the times of the Gentiles, a time for the gospel to spread from Jerusalem into the whole world, a time for his gospel to come right here to central Massachusetts. A time for disciples to be made of all nations through baptizing and through teaching. So what are we to do in this time? While we hold fast to Christ's death and resurrection, and as we look forward to his coming again in glory, how are we to live? St. Paul tells us that we are not to grow weary of doing good. He reminds us that we are not to be idle, just twiddling our thumbs while we wait for Christ to come. But we are to make use of this time, to do what God has called us to do, to carry out our callings at home and at church and in the world, and we are to bear witness to the world of the end time salvation that is ours in Christ. Because what looks to us like slowness, I know there are some of you who say, "I wish he'd come yesterday. Why doesn't he come? Why hasn't he come yet? When will he come again?" It looks to us like slowness, but on the Lord's part, it is simply his patience. He wants no one to perish, but that all should reach repentance. Waiting for the second coming, continuing to observe the signs of the world's end, the church does what Christ has given her to do. The church calls to repentance. The church forgives sins. The church proclaims the gospel. So this is what I call and encourage you to do. Live boldly and confidently. Do not be afraid of the end, because you know how it ends with Jesus. Your redemption is near, and you live in the light of that eternal redemption. Make your daily sacrifices as you go about your life. Offer your bodies to Christ because of what he gives and what he promises. I know that sometimes we read this passage of Scripture and it sounds frightening. The world will come to an end. The sun and the moon and the stars will fail. The earth will shake and the ocean will be in an uproar. Terror will seize the world. When everything falls apart, when death approaches, when the end comes, did you notice what Jesus says to do? He doesn't say curl up in the fetal position and wail and cry. He doesn't say go pull the covers up over your head. He says when these things take place, stand tall and lift your head. The Son of Man will come again. And unless he takes us first, we will see him with our own eyes. The redemption that is already yours will burst into full bloom. The joys of paradise, the resurrected body, the new heavens and the new earth, eternal life with Christ, perfect redemption. In Jesus, we have a sure and certain hope. And while we can't put a particular date on the calendar, it still remains on our calendar. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea each week simply to write in the words, Christ will come again. Every Sunday, every Monday, to remind us that it is coming. So the church here keeps us remembering this promise that Jesus has made. And just as everything else Jesus said has happened, we believe that this will happen as well. We know that he brings our redemption. We live now in the light of that promise. We live now forgiven by Jesus. We live secure in Jesus. We live awaiting Jesus. Because the judgment of our sin has already happened, and the new life that God has for us has already begun. So lift up your hearts. The day is surely drawing near. Amen.